news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Hey, y'all. Happy Tuesday. It wasn't until about 6 o'clock this morning I realized it was Tuesday, by the way.
Feels like a Monday.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig. It's Mobile Mornings. Up next is the Jeff Porsche Show beginning at 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. And meanwhile, we've got a friend, Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com.
Yeah, you can also read his writing at Washington Examiner. And even though it feels like a Monday, it is a Tuesday. So we say good morning to Quinn. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So what's up?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Hurricane Ida this morning and the destruction it left in its path from Louisiana all the way up through the northeastern United States.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I take it you were in New Orleans this weekend?
I was in New Orleans yesterday. Drove in, took a look, and again, this is New Orleans proper. I'm not talking about LaPlace, which is 20 miles west, much less point south, and all of those places got it really, really badly, as you've seen on the news. But I was actually encouraged by what I saw in New Orleans. There are a lot of branches down, but they had already done a good job of pushing almost all of the branches off to the side of the road. So all the roads were cleared, and there really wasn't that much structural damage. You had a few roofs here and there that had damage and a few gas station kind of things that were caved in, but really, I mean, compared to what I've seen in the past, what we've all seen in the past, this was not as bad as you would expect from a 150-mile-per-hour storm, and there's actually a good explanation of that if you want to read this most recent Gambit, Lanyap with Alan Seals' column, but New Orleans proper sort of dodged a bullet. And it is good news because, of course, that is such an important city, to the health of the whole country. It's port, et cetera, and its culture. So I was glad to see it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah, so after the catastrophic failure of the levees with Katrina almost 20 years ago, it seems that $15 to $16 billion that the feds put into making sure it didn't happen again, but it was put to good use because, we didn't have any levees break this last time.
Levees and flood walls, and I'm always particular about the difference because the levees never broke. The flood walls did. But be that as it may, that money was well spent. But then again, they didn't have the storm surge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This storm did not have anywhere near the storm surge that Katrina did. We won't really know whether these flood walls and levees and the whole lock system, or we won't know if it's better unless and until, Lord forbid, we get another Katrina.
Right.
But for now, they held. So the flooding was only rain, street flooding, not catastrophic. And New Orleans is going to bounce back, thank goodness.
One of the things that New Orleans is known for in the fall certainly is the Saints. That's a bounce back right there. But they've been forced to – their opener's going to be in Jacksonville this weekend, Dalton?
That's right.
So that was going to be a home game. That's gone. I know that their schedule is somehow road heavy in the beginning of the year, so a lot of the games were not going to be in New Orleans anyway for whatever reason. That's just NFL scheduling. What's the story with the Saints? When do they return to the city? Can people?
I think that first weekend of October.
Okay.
And, for people like me who like to go to the games, it's sort of frustrating to watch and have to treat a road game in Jacksonville as if it's a home game, stuff like that. And, of course, the Saints have lost Drew Brees, and they are very thin at defensive tackle and cornerback and wide receiver. So it's definitely a year of transition, and this kind of thing with the hurricane certainly doesn't help make their transition any easier.
How about Tulane? They had to move that game against Oklahoma to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That was asking a lot.
And they're staying away this weekend. Yeah.
And they played well.
Oh, they played great. They were 31-point underdogs. They ended up losing by only 4 points, and they were driving right toward the end of the game.
Yeah, they had an onside kick.
4th and 13, and their Tulane's quarterback scrambled for 12.5 yards.
Wow.
Fell one half of a yard short of keeping the drive going. And, you know, they were in Oklahoma territory. So Tulane really almost pulled off one of the biggest upsets in living memory.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
They've got a growing program there. They've got a good coach. They've got a cute little stadium, which, by the way, that section of town did okay. They had a lot of branches down. But anyway, I think it's sort of one of these deals where Tulane might be the little engine that could.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned La Place and some of these other areas in Louisiana that weren't as fortunate as New Orleans. And we've sent a lot of people and supplies from Mobile that way since the storm made landfall a week and a couple days ago. Walt from Summerdale took, a big trailer over to Houma, Louisiana, over this past weekend, and he just sent in some images from his trip, and it's basically the exact opposite of how you describe New Orleans. You just have, you know, power poles down on streets. You have all kinds of damage to buildings in Houma. So certainly the rest of the region was not spared. And Entergy, the stat I keep going to this morning, or the statement that was put out by the power company Entergy, they said more poles are down from Ida, more power poles, than Katrina, Delta, and Zeta combined. So Louisiana still took a hard hit, even though New Orleans is looking fine.
Louisiana took a terrible hit, and I don't want to underplay what New Orleans went through. I mean, New Orleans has obviously done a lot of work to put all the branches off to the side of the road. There are a heck of a lot of branches. I'm just saying compared to what you would think of from a 150-mile-per-hour wind storm. But again, those winds did not – this was not a wide storm. The winds didn't extend that far out from the center. But my goodness, I didn't have the heart or the time, but really the heart to go to La Place, Houma, Pointe-Fouchon, Lafitte. Those people really need our help.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if somebody comes to you and says, this is relief for New Orleans, that's good. But if they come and say this is relief for South Louisiana, that's better.
Right. You know, as an outsider looking in, and the New Orleans mayor, LaToya Cantrell, I guess I can't see why or if she's well-liked in the city, what her approval rating may be, because it seems among cities in the South, New Orleans has been the most stringent regarding COVID-19 and mask mandates and vaccine mandates. The Saints were the first NFL team to announce you had to either be vaccinated or masked to come to the games. What's the overall sentiment in the city of Mayor Cantrell? She certainly made news with how well New Orleans did through Ida. But what's the feeling there regarding her leadership through COVID-19?
It's really weird. You can't find a lot of people saying that she is really well-loved or even well-liked. But the polls for her re-election are very, very strong. Hmm. So it's as if there's a lot of respect there, even though, frankly, there's a lot of things she has not done well. But she does have a take charge personality. She keeps her head in a crisis, at least. And from what I hear, her poll numbers are very, very strong. And she's not going to get a very serious challenge for reelection, which I think is just next year.
Yeah, it's just surprising to me with the shutting down of businesses. It seems like that's happened more often, and it's been more difficult for small business owners in New Orleans than many cities across the South.
Well, definitely, and. Again, you know, she's figured out how to make the politics work, but you know, she's certainly not my favorite. Talking about closing small businesses, it's not just COVID that's shut down these small businesses. It is the response to COVID, especially the over response.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we're going to get into that after the break. I know it's got to do with the current administration and their response to COVID, right? And we'll dive into COVID itself right now and where we are with the numbers as well. Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, The Washington Examiner, our guest on Tuesdays. And back with Quinn and your texts as well at 343-0106.
Kane 821 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And this segment of the show brought to you by our friends at TMCLawyers.com. Tobias McCormick and Comer, a local law firm with tons of experience and very local. And they wanted to remind you about an event coming up mid-October, the 6th annual Try the Gulf Triathlon. And and TMC, the presenting sponsor of the Mobile Bar Foundation's 6th annual triathlon. This will be on Dauphin Island at the Isle of Dauphin Golf Club. And, well, I think we all know what a triathlon is, right? And this one happening on Dauphin Island, a 600-yard swim in the Gulf. Easy. I could do that in like 3 minutes. A 16.7-mile bike ride on the island and the bridge. Again, easy. That would probably take me about 10 minutes.
Not a problem.
And then a 3.1-mile run on the island. That's easy work. I don't know what people are saying. Yeah. These triathlons are difficult.
Trying to make it a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's going to be a good time, even if I wouldn't be able to finish the first 100 yards of the swim. If you want to find out more about the triathlon, you can go to the website trythegolf.org. That's T-R-I, the Gulf. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/trythegolf. You'll find detailed information about the triathlon. All the proceeds will be utilized by the Foundation for Civic and Charitable Organizations in the Mobile, Southwest Alabama area. So they're giving back, and Tobias McCormick and Comer excited to be the presenting sponsor of Try the Gulf Triathlon Dauphin Island, October 16th.
Since it's at Isle of Dauphin Golf Club, why don't they just top it off at the end with a par 3?
I think that
everybody try to make a hole-in-one after all that.
It'd be whatever you go past a triathlon, what would it be, quadathlon or something like that, where you have a par 3 contest. Genius.
820, thank you. 823 FM Talk 106.5, getting smarter with Quinn Hillier as well this morning, who you made a little trip over to New Orleans yesterday. Did you dine out while you were there?
Lord, no. No, I just went in to check things out, take a look around, do some, look in on some places that friends of mine have want to help out any way I could, and then I drove back.
But if you had dined out, you may have realized that there weren't enough servers in whatever restaurant you visited.
Well, that's not New Orleans. Of course, there are no servers there, but we stopped back in Gulfport on the way back to try to get lunch. Went into one place. There was one server in the whole place, and by one server I mean she was, and this was actually an Applebee's. Mm-hmm. She was the hostess, the greeter. She was the only waitress.
Wow.
She was the bus person. She was the only person serving.
Was she cooking too?
She was not cooking, but she was the only person that was not in the kitchen, the only one. And then so we go, we give that up, and we go to the next place. And there's a sign up for, at the cashier saying, please have patience, we're very short staffed today. People are seeing this all over the place. Mm-hmm. Of course, anywhere you go here in Mobile dining establishments, they have help wanted out there. And this is Joe Biden's fault. This is Joe Biden's fault and Nancy Pelosi's fault and Chuck Schumer's fault, because the COVID relief package has given such an incentive for people not to work. They're now saying, and we know this, we've been saying this for months, that they make more money sitting at home than they do going to work. And now it's going to run out eventually, but for right now, that's a very bad thing. You go to grocery stores, of course, the supplies are limited because our supply chain is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you overreact from government, and we have had a classic overreaction, giving so much incentive not to work, so much money to stay home, even though, frankly, I mean, we've got 5.2 official unemployment rate nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
That's, for historical averages, that's already better than full employment. The reason why is because you have the percentage of the workforce actually seeking jobs is really, really low, because so many people at the margins don't want to work if they don't have to, and government is giving them reason not to.
Yeah, it's something we've seen administration in and administration out is they're kind of able to toy with those unemployment numbers, right, depending on who's technically looking for a job or not looking for a job. But I don't remember seeing a job market like this where the latest numbers, I think it was just over 8 million people, quote unquote, looking for a job that are on unemployment, but over 10 million job openings. So the jobs are out there. They're just not being taken.
Well, yeah. But here's what's going to happen is when these extended and expanded benefits finally run out, all of a sudden, within about a month after that, people's money is going to run out and they're going to rush into the job market. And then you're going to see unemployment, the official unemployment rate, start to spike up.
Mm.
But meanwhile, we will have been building up all these inflationary pressures. And as we know, inflation is rampant. This is Bidenomics, which is Carternomics redux.
Mm.
And it's really bad for the country, especially with all the debt on top of it.
People who work in the service industry, though, there is a degree of fear of getting sick from COVID. I mean, that's legit, right?
It is. And it's a reasonable fear. And anybody that says this pandemic is over is either ignorant or lying. I mean, the statistics are mind-boggling. In one day last week, I think it was last Thursday, there were more than 2,900 Americans that died from COVID in one day. The average for the last over a month have been over 1,000 a day, and that's even with the first 10 days of last month. Still ramping up down in the low hundreds. We've been averaging 1,500 a day for about 15 straight days, 1,500 dead Americans a day. That is a rate of 500,000 a year.
Well,
this is bad stuff. People need to take it seriously, and government needs to take it seriously, too, as we talked about last week, not just with vaccines, which I do urge, but with treatment. Monoclonal antibodies can help. They have very few side effects, and government is not doing enough to make treatment available because all they can talk about is vaccines.
Right. This is an interesting text coming in from Adam. He says, I actually own and am the only chef in my restaurant. It's very real about supply chain and worker issues. However, currently my staff is dealing with patrons not leaving tips. I didn't realize that was happening. You would think, and I know right after, businesses started reopening last year that I was actually over tipping.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have continued that because so many people were out of work for so long. But Quinn, I mean, this nation has dealt with terrible situations in the past, and as easy as it would be for some people to hide out and stay in their basements and collect that unemployment, it's kind of your duty as an American to get up and go to work, right?
Get up and go to work. Well, except that if you read a piece in AL.com last week, there was a short piece by some millennial saying that people his age and younger are forcing changes in the workforce where they're demanding and getting more flexibility, more leisure, and what a good thing it is that people are insisting that they don't have to work so hard.
Quinn,
you know what? I want to take them, put them over my knee and spank them. get out there and work, for God's sake.
Let everybody know where they can see your work, Quinn.
Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, or go to QuinnHillier.com, and you can subscribe for free.
And the Matt Jones Trilogy?
On Amazon.com, and they might be coming out as a single book next year, too, which is good.
Excellent. Thank you, Quinn.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, coming back, we'll turn up your voice. 343-0106. Is the State Department keeping charter planes from leaving Afghanistan with Americans?
Looks like they are.
And what about the NIH funding gain-of-function research? More documents out on that we'll go over soon. FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Tuesday. Feels like a Monday, but it's Tuesday. Right now, time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. Hope everybody had a safe Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, we did here at FM Talk 106.5. I know McConnell had a busy weekend.
That's right. We did, man. We were taking trucks out to South Alabama. Unfortunately, that little rain shower canceled the parade, but we had some beautiful GMC trucks sitting out there, and they're on the lot right now, ready to sell. So come on by and check us out. We're going to be here all day long. You check all the new trucks out on the Internet at McConnellAutomotive.com. And don't forget, with all this rain, if you have that unfortunate accident, McConnell Collision can take care of all your needs. All those guys and girls back there in the body shop, they will take care of anything you need. So think about that, McConnell Collision.
Yeah, you got a heck.
And we're going to be here all day, so it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. And let's sell some cars.
Sounds like a plan to me, Louie. You got a heck of a team there at the body shop and at the rest of McConnell Automotive. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. I know you were looking at the text line. There were a few things that were relevant to some of the points we wanted to get to this hour.
Yeah, so Quinn was talking about these COVID numbers and the number of deaths per day. Pete said, if we're seeing the worst numbers in the pandemic with the vaccines widely available, shouldn't we be questioning the efficacy of the vaccines? I think, you know, Pete, that's something that's coming up more and more and should be widely discussed. Now, everything I've seen indicates that if you're vaccinated, that the disease is less harmful than it is to those who are unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. But we've also seen studies that those with natural immunity, that it's better to have natural immunity than it is to have not caught COVID but gotten vaccinated. But that getting vaccinated, if you haven't caught COVID, is better than none of the above, right?
You're about to be both, right? Because you had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
When did you had it last?
That was after Thanksgiving last year that I had. I got one of the vaccine shots. I'm still up for the second one here. But you look at Israel, and they are one of, if not the most vaccinated country in the world. And they're experiencing a heck of an outbreak as far as their country is concerned right mm-hmm. now, too. So what we're doing, we're working off of, you know, at this point, vaccines that have been in development for 2 years, and the virus has since mutated. Now they're saying whatever this newest strain is that's showing up around the United States, that it is even less concerned with the vaccine than the Delta variant. And the Delta variant's been breaking through. I mean, look at last night's game. I thought this would be an issue all football season long. You have completely vaccinated teams and coaching staffs, and it already bit Ole Miss last week or mm-hmm. last night with Lane Kiffin testing positive, even though he's vaccinated. I think it's going to be an issue for sports all year long. But then think about it at the local level and getting people to work and making sure you don't have, you know, the situations that Quinn was pointing to there with one waitress basically running an entire Applebee's in his stop in Gulfport. Certainly unemployment is an issue and people being paid to stay at home. But we saw it all last year with the varying levels of people being out due to COVID-19. It could still happen even if you're vaccinated. But all the doctors and nurses I've seen said that most of their hospitalized are unvaccinated folks. But even still, you look at the numbers for COVID deaths by the day, and the phase we're in right now is it looks to be the third most lethal peak of COVID. The one in January, U.S. was averaging right around 4,000 deaths per day, which was certainly the highest we've seen. Lately, we've been averaging between 1,000 and 2,000 per day nationally. And even that first big spike last year in late spring, early summer of 2020, we were higher than we are right now with just over 2,000 per day. And so far, the latest spike has been happening down here in the South. Louisiana's been hit hard, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. And over the weekend, Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA chairman, he spoke with CNBC. Okay, he was on Squawk Box. He said, I think there's sort of a perception that we're through this Delta wave in the Northeast because we've seen Delta cases go up and down in places like New York. He said, we're also seeing positive tests come down, but he doesn't think that the recent uptick in cases in the Northeast was the true Delta wave. He said, I think that was a Delta warning. I think our true Delta wave is going to start to build after Labor Day in the Northeast and northern part of the country. This is something that I talked about a couple weeks ago as we saw the spike in cases and hospitalizations here in the South, and all those states in the Northeast were saying, look at those unvaccinated rubes down there mm-hmm. going through it again. This is completely unnecessary. The wave in the Northeast didn't happen last year when no one had the vaccine until after the wave in the South. Mm-hmm. So it's still entirely possible, and according to the former FDA head, likely that the Northeast, as vaccinated as they are, will still see a huge wave here in the coming weeks while the South continues to kind of head down that downslope.
So I guess there's going to be UAB is going to be at Georgia this weekend, and I would suppose, if it's a sellout, it's like 92,000 people. Auburn had over 80,000 on Saturday, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, they had over 80,000 by tickets, and I think they all showed up. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, even though the surge is a concern, even though it's real, even though people that work in hospitals are frustrated, we're getting out, and we're going to these sporting events, and we're supporting them. it's almost like cases are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice in Atlanta, the two kickoff classics, whatever you want to call them, they had yesterday, I've seen bigger crowds at Spanish Fork, but the roof was open.
Right.
And so that made it, now if that really makes a big difference with that many people in a stadium, I don't know. But just for the optics, they had the roof open at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Well, I mean, you saw it. People were ready to get out
and
go to these games, and a lot of people would argue.
I saw it at South.
A lot of people would say that this is what we should have been doing last year, and that, being outside and just the other effects of the shutdown on people's mental health. Think of all the people that were working this weekend that weren't working last year in college football, working at these stadiums and selling drinks and sodas and taking tickets. That's a lot of jobs that are seasonal jobs.
It is a lot of jobs. That's a good point, because going out to South, not just Saturday, but even in advance of that, I would go on my walks and I would check out what's going on at the stadium. Like the day before that, there was a lot of activity. There was a lot of people. Game day, there was so many people employed by Hancock-Whitney Stadium that were there for a variety of reasons, because South is really wants to make it a big dog and pony show now. You know, they don't want you just to walk in and you have there's the game in front of you.
Right.
They want to make sure that you're satisfied, like, in every possible way. So they employ a lot of people.
Well, look at what happened at UAB late last night and into this morning. You had the nurses that were supposed to be working the late shift kind of held out. I don't know how long it was, maybe a couple hours, but they basically had a mini strike just outside of one of those hospitals up there in Birmingham, and they said it was all about pay. We saw, was it a couple weeks ago, that those nurses and doctors in South Florida held a walkout? A
couple of weeks ago.
And their main reasoning, they said, was because of the unvaccinated that keep showing up to the hospitals. For UAB, I didn't see the mention of unvaccinated people being a reason behind why they have stepped out, but the pay. They claim that nurses in Alabama are paid on average 8 cents less than, or was it 8%? I can't recall. That's a big difference.
The traveling nurses?
Yeah, than the nurses across the rest of the United States.
Okay.
So that's a major problem they're having in UAB. That's close. I wonder if we're going to see the same thing start to happen down here in Mobile with all of these hospitals we have down here and all the nurses and things of that nature. But keep an eye on the Northeast here over these next few weeks. And tomorrow, I've read this morning that Joe Biden is going to have this big COVID speech where he's going to lay out some new plan or something like that. It's got me worried. I'm not sure what they have in mind from the federal government on down, possibly, you know, almost mandating some of these private businesses, some of these large corporations to mandate vaccinations within their workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's coming down the pipe tomorrow, but certainly the administration, they're going to take these numbers that we've seen talked about and use that for their own means, for sure.
Texter says, one thing I've been hearing is that travel nurses are coming in and getting paid $90 to $100 an hour. So there are regular nurses that have been with the hospital for many years quitting and going the travel route.
Mm.
So then the hospital they work for offers them the $90 to $100 hour rate. So, you know, they become a free agent.
Right.
Once that happens, they're able to cash in a little bit.
So that's like an unintended consequence, right?
Yeah.
You've got nursing shortages because of the pandemic, because of the long hours and just war of attrition that they're fighting against COVID-19. To supplement the lack of nurses, they bring in traveling nurses from who knows where, I guess all across the United States.
Right.
But to get them to come to work, you pay them a lot more per hour than the nurses who've been working their butts off, nurses and doctors who've been working their butts off at the same place who live in that city. So then they turn and say, well, why are they getting paid so much more than I am? I've been here the whole time.
And then they become free agents themselves.
Wow.
So I'm going to go out to California, make some real money. And then this is all anecdotal and from the text line. But the idea is like, well, they become, I quit.
Yeah.
But I can work here for that same travel stipend that the other nurses are getting.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that the trends continue down here and that hospitalizations really begin to tamper down, because hospitals have been they've been hit pretty hard this last wave with COVID, and hoping it makes it a little bit easier on our medical workers. But look at some of these states up northeast, Vermont, Massachusetts, that have these high vaccination numbers. I think they're looking at a wave themselves coming up here in these next few weeks.
Very interesting, trying to understand this whole thing, and we've been doing that for a year and a half. 847. On the way, among other things, Dalton's dance debut is on this week. It's on the way on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning, 10 minutes until 9, FM Talk 106.5. In this segment of Mobile Mornings, brought to you by our good friends over at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Locally owned crew there doing great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. When I say local, I mean local. Trey Bennett and his crew have been doing work in Mobile and Baldwin counties for, well, longer than FM Talk 106.5 has been around. And they're not just neighbors, but they're good neighbors. I think we've all had bad neighbors before.
I've had them.
Trey and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they're the neighbors that after the storm, they'll come help clean up your yard before they clean up their yard. And they make junk disappear just like they say on their on the front page of their website. It's a very easy process for everyone involved. Convenient pickup. You find a time that works for you. And a window of time that works for Got Junk, and they'll come to your home or business during that window of time and take care of the junk for you. The pricing is up front, meaning what you get quoted is what you'll pay. No surprise charges after the fact. So if during Ida maybe you were – or before Ida you were moving a bunch of stuff around to avoid having those things flying around in case Ida took a turn for us, and you were thinking, man, this is just way too much work. Why do I have all this junk at my house? Just give Trey and the crew a call today and have them come and take care of it for you. One more time to set up your appointment. The number is right there on the side of the big trucks, 1-800-GOT-JUNK or online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
By the way, speaking of moving, you had a lot of that going on this past last week.
Yeah.
So I know it takes a while, a family of four. Are you moved in? Are you feel comfortable? Are you still all boxes everywhere or what?
Oh, boxes everywhere still, yeah. But we got all the big things moved, and I think we have found the things that we need. You know, when you move and you just pack everything away, there are certain things you use day to day that you don't even think about when you're packing them away. Mm-hmm. So you just go through every box until you –
trying to find that.
Yeah, until you find it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, my parents came down, were a big help. I'm sure they're going to ask me to assist them as they move here in the next couple of months.
This is a strategic move help for them.
And they got to hang out with the grandkids,
yes,
which is very cool. But, yeah, we made up a lot of ground, so I'm excited about the new house.
That's good. That's good. What's the week look like?
Oh, today we are excited, Dan, because the two-year-old is going to have her first ballet class this afternoon. Ballet. We got her the leotard. We got her the ballet slippers, the tights, and it will be dad's job. That's me.
Ballet?
Yeah.
At two?
At two. Now, I think it's just one of these things where they just kind of dance around and jump around for an hour, which is great. Well, this is probably what they'll be balleting to.
I just found this for you. Yeah, this is ballerina music right there.
It's so fantastic.
What? Is it going to be at the same facility where she...
So I'll go pick her up from K2.
Okay.
Which I don't know, K2, K1, K6 months. Kindergarten starts earlier and earlier, but I'll pick her up. I have to get her dressed in the tights and the leotard, and then we head over to ballet.
Quick question,
yeah.
If you don't mind.
You sure?
Can we, you know, this is all fascinating to me, and I had no daughter, so as the daddy,
yeah,
do you have your own leotard?
Well, I need a new one. I've worn out the old leotard.
Okay, I can see that happen.
From wearing it so often.
You're a big one.
You know, I think when the kids normally dance, they do like these mommy and me classes where the moms get in there and dance with them. So I don't know if this will be like a daddy and me kind of dance class situation.
It would seem to me that if you've taken on this responsibility, that indeed you will be out there.
I need to jump in there?
You'll be out there on the floor with her. Otherwise, she'll be saying, look, Daddy, everybody else has got a partner out here.
Yeah, my years of ballet experience finally paying off.
Sure.
When we go to dance class this afternoon.
There was T-ball. There was youth hockey. And, of course, who knew that your parents putting you in ballet
would pay off down the line.
Pay off in Mobile, Alabama.
I think they thought it would result in, like, a college scholarship. That didn't happen. But, yeah, I'm excited about it. And we'll see.
Is she excited about it?
First off, I've got to get her in the tights and the leotard.
Okay.
And I only have 45 minutes to do that when I get her. So once we pass that step, I think everything will be easy from there on.
So will you document all this so so we can see it?
I'll take a couple pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And if I don't take video of her dancing in her first dance class, then her mom might be a little upset with me. So I'll do that too.
But it's your mommy's at work. You're the one. That's it, right?
Yep. I'm on the chopping block there. I might be released if I don't do a good job of it this afternoon.
I cannot believe little two-year-old kids are learning how to...
Ballet.
Ballet.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like a That's a lot to ask. So they've got to minimize any kind of structure in this. Huh?
We also got her some tap shoes. I'm not sure when the tapping commences, but I'm not. I think once she gets on into those tap shoes, it might be tough to take her out of them. So we might be hearing some tapping in the house for the next few years.
Once again, if you are, will you be tapping alongside her?
I do not have my own tap shoes.
Okay.
But I could do some dancing in the rain, possibly.
Congratulations on the move, though, because that is one of the biggest headaches ever. You've got this young family. You have a lot of stuff going on. You've got two babies that can't help at all.
No.
But you got to move all their stuff,
right,
too.
Yeah.
Peyton is now beginning to crawl a little bit.
Almost. She's not quite there. She goes from sitting position to on her belly pretty quickly. But she's yet to crawl.
Okay.
And you're right. She was absolutely no help as we moved over this last week. I'm excited, though. I love the new hood. We're getting along pretty great.
I think it's great. Plus, you're excited about the fact that your house has a big hole in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a little courtyard.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's a, you know, I know we've been calling it a mansion. It's like a single story mansion, but not, you know, I mean, it's low key. We like the place a whole lot. So pretty excited about that. And had our first big storm there yesterday and it made it through just fine. So we're good.
Also, are you finding now that with all this room, now suddenly you can actually lose where sweaty baby is?
Yeah.
Like she could be a free agent?
It's already happened. I was actually worried she opened the front door and was walking out on Greelot Road the other day.
That's not good.
No. But, yeah, it's good and bad when you lose a child. Because then, you know, if they're crying, you don't hear them as much anymore. And it's also bad because they're crying and you don't know where they are. So there's two sides to that coin.
But it's a brand new world.
Yeah, brand new world.
Now, what has Izzy said about her new home? She's pretty verbal at this point, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure she realizes what happened. I think she just likes being in the new place, having all of her toys around. Yeah, it's been a pretty good move, I'd say.
The fact that you guys moved from one house to the other is over her head completely?
We went back to kind of finish cleaning up the old house, and with everything empty, you know, all these rooms that she's seen for the last 2 years.
Oh, that was really shocking.
Yeah, it was probably a little bit shocking. Yeah. But I think she was more concerned with the awesome echo that came with having everything out of the house, because she was just shouting like she was in a cave in Kentucky or something like
that. What's the next step? How do you finalize everything? How do you say, this is now my new home?
Oh, it already is. Yeah, I watched college football all weekend. So that was the official christening of the Orwick household, was having two TVs, same room, on different football games.
And you were kind enough to invite me.
I was, yeah, and you completely turned me down. Yeah, first time I've ever been rejected, Dan.
I had to watch. I'm such a spectacle if I'm watching a Georgia game. The kids don't need to watch. They don't need to see that.
It's too scary.
Too scary. Also, South Big win over the weekend. That was pretty cool. I was there for a while for that one. It's 8:58 FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore on the way next.